What does it mean when it says this, the gift of God is eternal life? What the hell does that mean? Yeah, well, do we even have the capacity to think about what that means? What does it mean? The gift of God is eternal life. The gift is eternal. It's remember the unique, when it's preceded by an article, it calls to mind the totality of the uniqueness. The singular gift of God is eternal life.
The ultimate gift would be existence with God. It's the best he could give.
It's Christ himself.
Right. Then we have the gift of God is eternal life. Then it says, eternal life means immortality, right? That's what it means. Immortality. Immortality means what? It means without death.
What does death mean?
Huh?
What does death mean?
Separation from God. The gift of God is eternal life. He alone has immortality. Therefore, he alone is our gift. But what all of the scriptures focus on eternal life. But the problem is, in English, we take and hear eternal life or eternity or forever as this. It's a long, long, long time. No matter how much we talk about the vanishing point or no time, in our mind, eternal life still means a long, long, long time. It doesn't mean that at all. Eternal life means living a life that is not subject to time. Again, back to the secret that Abraham saw before he started. There were the predicate for his consecrations, for the seven consecrations of Abraham. Because he saw the gift of God was eternal life. He left his lands, his families, his possessions. He left, there's seven of them. I don't remember them right now. But he left them all. And he finally, he even gave up the promise. Let's go to 1 John 1. No, let's go to Titus 3 first. Actually, Titus 2, Titus 2, verse 11. Everybody there? One of the Musketeers can't find Titus.
It's too small a book to find.
It's right before Hebrews.
One before Hebrews. Right after 1764.
Have you found it?
Yes.
Okay, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, a revelation of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Michael? No, he doesn't work other times. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, and to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of our God, of God our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He had shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Now, if the gift of God is eternal life, then there is something within you that is only satisfied by eternal life. If He has, you know, I'm not going to say there's a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart or all of that. Huh? Have you heard that before?
No, but it sounds like somebody is keeping you waiting in.
But there is. There's something in your heart that is only satisfied by that mystery. There's something at the very, very core of your being that is satisfied by nothing else. That's why the first predicate of being able to everything else is time dependent. And therefore, anything that is time dependent can't satisfy you. So you keep going and doing and thinking, and this is going to do. You go in every possible direction. This is a place here for people who have come to the end of that striving. Could you sit back there closer to Ronnie? So, yeah.
We'll keep our circle.
Yeah. Now let's go to 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John is after Hebrews, and 2 Peter, and then 1 John. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I promise you, you cannot teach this mystery unless you can say with John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. If you don't know that, if you haven't seen that, then you cannot share the mystery. All you can do is talk about the mystery. And that doesn't give life. All you can do is be an observer. But your heart is still chasing after all the other standard lusts of the world. If you haven't seen with John in the book of Revelation the New Jerusalem descending as a bride out of heaven, descending upon the earth, then you can't teach this mystery. You can only teach about it. And that's what creates the constant childlike activities of believers in the world, because they only have children teaching them. I write unto you, darling infants, little children, because your sin is forgiven. 99% of the preachments in our society are from the standpoint of a darling infant. I write unto you that your sin is forgiven, which is great, it's good, it's wonderful. But it's still childish. I write unto you, adolescence, because you know the Father. When Bible study doesn't work, when Bible reading doesn't work, when fellowship doesn't work, when honesty, prophecy, when nothing works, there's an anchor within you, somewhere deep, that says you know the Father. And finally, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth continually in you, and you have overcome the evil one. That's the beginning of the process of being able to teach and being able to live. Then finally, I write unto you, fathers, adults, because you know you've been with Him from the beginning. You were with Him from the beginning because you crucified Him. You were with Him from the beginning because you're the one that killed Cain or Abel. You're Cain. You were with Him from the beginning because you're Nimrod hunting down all. And if you know that, then you know that you are the chief of sinners of all time. And if you know you're the chief of sinners of all time, then you can begin to understand, because you know the fear of God. What?
I keep hearing Christ in this. That
I hope he, so.
Yeah. And it's kind of disturbing almost. Did he think of himself as the chief of sinners? Well, his high place identity was God of this world. He had to have that thought.
Well, if he wouldn't have thought of himself as the chief of sinners, then he wouldn't have been able to be tempted
in all ways
by all the king. Showed him all the king. Remember, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. In a moment of, and the glory thereof in a moment of time. And Satan said to him, all this has been delivered over to me, and whosoever I will, I'll give it.
Yeah. So my basic idolatry of Christ, which I and everyone else has created their own Jesus, resist that, you know, like can't think that. But it's, if you don't think that, if you don't believe that, Christ is an idol.
Even more than that, he took on all the sin on himself, and actually, you know, in reality, in every other way, became the chief of sinners. In that respect.
Yeah. If he didn't take on him the sin of the world, then he couldn't have been the chief of sinners. And he couldn't have redeemed the worst of the worst. He couldn't have redeemed you and I. This is then the message. This then is the message in verse 5. Which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Take a left. Quite a ways back. chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now again, remember, the word law here is nomos. It's not, doesn't mean just this Jewish law. It means any way a thing works. It means cause and effect, reward, punishment. You that desire to be under the law, you that desire to be under principles. Well, if I do this, then this shall happen. This is how I make this happen over here. If you're under principles, this is how I have a good marriage. Dana has to obey me. This is how we have a good marriage. This is the way Dana has to be. If you desire to be under the law, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But the bondmaid was a daughter of Pharaoh. Hagar was the daughter of Pharaoh that the Pharaoh gave to Abraham because he recognized and saw something. But the scriptures declare her a bondmaid, a servant girl, because she's still under the world of servanthood.
So Ishmael is a son of Pharaoh?
No, because there was closer. He was potentially, if all the other son of Pharaoh's daughters would have been, you know, he's like 52nd in line or something.
Yeah, but he's not the same line as Pharaoh.
Yeah. He never been to the secret banana Zohar stuff. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. The free woman was barren. There was no hope, according to any understanding, that she could be with child. Abraham was beyond age. He couldn't produce. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by promise, which things are an allegory or a parable. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. Do you understand? The law was given on Mount Sinai. Can you imagine what this did to the Jewish people? Who said, he said, Paul is saying that this precious law and the place of the law was given with all the thundering and lightning and everything else. This precious law can only gendereth to bondage. Another place he said, the purpose of that law is to shut up all your mouths, to shut up all the mouths of your board of elders so that they have no more truck with thee. They have nothing in you. There's nothing in you that they desire. The problem is, since you don't know the law, you haven't shut up the voices. And so you keep listening to the little nice voices of your counselors, and they keep taking you back into bondage over and over and over and over again, and you wonder why. Is anybody hearing me? Because they take you back into the realm of time, but the gift of God is eternal life. They can't even conceive. These voices in your head cannot conceive of a life without time. They can't have a thought that isn't time dependent. Therefore, you cast down these imaginations, or another word for imaginations are the voices of your board of elders, because they are all time dependent. Therefore, they cannot be of truth. Therefore, they cannot have, they're meaningless. And if you can hear this once and for all time, then you will never again be deceived. You will never again be nervous. You'll never again be anxious, because your life is not of this world. And what happens to you is exactly what should happen to destroy the idolatry that still remains in you. Can you taste that peace and joy for a second so that you're not deceived anymore? Amen. It's mind-blowing. It's beyond. How many times a day are you deceived? What? The only reason you're deceived is because you want to be. Because you still think there's a there. That which is already finished.
You know, I think here's when you said that we want to be deceived, like, no, I don't want to be deceived. But,
no, come on. Ronnie. Good. Right. I figured you hadn't finished.
Yeah, see. But, you know, oftentimes I find myself in that.
Because you've listened to one of the voices. They know what's going to seduce you. You listen to one of those voices. The moment you listen to that one voice and not cast it down, then you've been seduced. We're picking Harry since he's not here. Harry always wants to be Jersey Boy. He always wants to come up with an idea that's going to save the world, save the magazine, save whatever. And so, man, so every time he does, it's so predictable. Oh my God, this thing has been bothering me for 3 months, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and it's in my dreams, and I just wake up, and I can't. But if you do the same thing, you wouldn't be deceived if you didn't do the same thing. There's this great idea that's going to get you out of all debt. There's this great idea that's going to make you feel really good for a minute. There's this, oh, I just can't stand the pressure. I got to go have some relief. So you get Ronnie's so stupid, he sells his birthright for 3 seconds of crack. It's probably not even 3 seconds anymore. It's probably like a nanosecond. Others sell your birthright. Jim sells his birthright to get drunk. But Gary sells his birthright to have a good idea about a job. Huh?
2 years.
Me? I sell my birthright if I think I can get pain relief. I used to sell it for everything that walked down the block. I knew better, but I did it anyway. What are you going to give up eternal life for? What are you going to give up perfect joy for? He was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. You are born after the flesh. Christ in you was of the promise. It's the same. It's the allegory. Everything of the bondwoman who is, by the way, the whore of Babylon, who is sitting on the throne up here on the top of the seven mountains. She just loves to manipulate you. Dangles nice little looking things out. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, which is this one that always giving you good ideas. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. And he's in bondage with her children. Not only did he make fun of Mount Sinai, he did the unpardonable here. He said the Jerusalem that now existed was there only to engender bondage. Would somebody get me a glass of water? For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Do you all understand this? Is there any part of this that you're not understanding? The Jerusalem that now is, can the best it can do is produce Jesus Christ after the flesh. The best from the eyes of the flesh it can do is produce the temple in its perfection, in its holiness, in its beauty, in its incredible. But both gendereth to bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, which we have now seen descending as a bride prepared for her husband, which is our only reality, where we are seated 24 hours a day. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem above, heaven, Garden of Eden, all are parables for this place, this mystery where there is no time, which is the gift of God to you, which is your rightful inheritance, which overrides and over envelops everything. And so within it is everything for a time, because everything is beautiful in its time. That's a signal I'm supposed to quit. Doggy signal. Johnny's hat. She didn't like Johnny's hat, and she didn't like his... Would you?
No, she didn't like Johnny's hat. That's it.
No, it's not the hat. I think it's the head that he's carrying. Princess!
What's your problem?
Anybody have any response or thoughts?
I was thinking of the deception comes when we think we know we're not in control of something, and we think we can have control. Then all these things kick in. If you already, like, there's certain things you know you don't have control over, then you're not worrying about them. They didn't even come up.
I do have a response.
What does it feel like?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Otherworldly? They're not supposed to match up. It's the chaff being blown away. Wade?
Well, the question of what would you trade
your birthright for?
I would trade it for the pulling my weight.
That's kind of stupid.
A few good years.
In the past.
For a few good years.
Yeah, I would trade for trying to have control of my diabetes.
Right now you'd control it? You'd trade it for that? You're making a pact with the devil right now?
Trick question. No, I wouldn't.
Huh? Wade, are you ready to make that pack right now?
No.
That's what all of the deals are about, people making pacts with the devil. It's just making an alliance with yourself. You touch the dead body. You make an alliance with yourself. You pay attention to that which is being spoken from a dead body, instead of that which is being spoken from the mouth of God, eternity. Okay, everybody understands perfectly. Let's live it then, okay? All righty, take it, big guy.